Jesus heals a blind beggar in Luke 18. As we've been working our way through Luke's gospel, I've discovered with references and commentaries and that there's this portion in Luke's gospel right about now that some have called the gospel of the outcast. One of the commentaries called it the gospel of the underdog. And it's where you meet people like a blind beggar, some guy on the side of the road. The story after this is Zacchaeus. There was a story earlier we read on Wednesday night, the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Jesus and God are always on the side, it seems, of the underdog. Even if the underdog is a rich man, Jesus is on the side of an underdog. And so that's where we come across this story of another outcast, a person on the margins of society, mostly ignored, probably not even seen by many, this blind beggar on the road to Jericho. But if I really want to do justice to set this story up, Drew thought I did a pretty good job. I basically just told the story, and then she gets up and reads it. If I really want to set this story up, let's look what happened right before it, and sometimes it's interesting to look at what happens right after it. So let me do that for you as I set this up. Just three verses before this, Jesus says to his disciples, he took them aside and he says, see? Listen to that language, right? See? Right? Sometimes we say, listen up. Say, hey, I want to tell you something. And sometimes Jesus said, listen, hear what I have to say. And sometimes he says, now look here. See what I mean? See what I mean? He says, and then he goes on and he says, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man and the prophets will be accomplished. And he says this. This is the third time he has predicted his death in Jerusalem. This is why he's on the journey on the road to Jerusalem. And the disciples really don't want to hear what he has to say. It's hard. These are hard words. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. That he, by the way, is me I'm talking about. And after they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. And the disciples said, oh, I see. Right? Wrong. That's another gospel. It hasn't been written yet. Those disciples never show up. The ones who see and get it every time Jesus opens his mouth. No. These disciples are the ones that you and I know. They're the ones sitting next to you, by the way. But the disciples understood nothing about what he said. In fact, what he said was hidden from them. It was hidden from their eyes. He opens his mouth and says, see, look, watch this, and they see nothing. The story after this, by the way, is the story of Zacchaeus, right? Famous story. You guys know this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. What was his problem? He was short. He could not see. So he went to great lengths to see Jesus, to respond to the invitation that the disciples had just a couple of verses earlier. See, now watch, look. Look at here. Right? So he climbs a tree so he can see. So wedged in between these two stories, Luke, master storyteller, gives us a story of a blind man. Because there's blind, and then there's just not seeing what's in front of you, right? There's blind, and then there's stubborn, maybe. There's blind, and there's just the failure to see. And the blind man sees pretty clearly. If you look at his story, he approached Jericho, and a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he did what any of us would do. He shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Perhaps I spoke too soon. I'm not sure I would have done that. Would you? I might have said, hey, Jesus, look at me. Seems to be a popular theme here. Why don't, hey, look my way. throw some grace my way. But what does he actually say? He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. I think he already sees. He sees better than the disciples see at this point. He sees better than I do. I might have made some other petition, but to say, have mercy on me, it means he sees pretty clearly where he is in life and what his stature is. I want to think today about what keeps you from seeing, what keeps all of us from really seeing. And this is a good one here. It's failure to sort of know who I really am, to know my own faults. And that's why the blind beggar in my mind already sees so clearly, because he knows he needs mercy. He doesn't give an inventory or anything. Does because I did this or I did that or I'm a bad person. He just says, it's what you call a heartfelt, spontaneous prayer from right here. Jesus, have mercy. There's a prayer in the church. It's a historic prayer. It's called the Jesus Prayer. Anybody familiar with the Jesus Prayer? Well, it's another one I should teach you one of these days. But it's basically, it takes the words of this, and it also takes the words of the story that we read on Wednesday, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector is in the temple praying, and he's beating his breast. And he says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Okay? And then the next chapter, we get this story. Actually, it's the same chapter, but it's a few paragraphs later. The blind beggar says, Jesus, have mercy on me. And a pilgrim, an 18th century pilgrim, took these two scriptures, and he was inspired to pray at all times. There's another passage in, I think it's in Colossians, that says, pray without ceasing. And he wanted to know what that would be like. So he took this phrase and he compacted it into, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the Jesus Prayer. And he walked across Russia. He wrote a book about it called The Pilgrim. He walked across Russia. He was a peasant, an Eastern Orthodox Russian Christian peasant. And that prayer was on his lips every breath he took. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Can you imagine that? Every day, every breath. Now, there are versions that you can simplify that prayer. You can just say, Lord, have mercy. You could pray that all day long, couldn't you? Lord, have mercy. Or, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. The long version is the long version. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, comma, a sinner. Some of us leave that part off. But the point is, his eyes are already pretty clear about who he is. And he's not afraid to be who he is right there in front of Jesus, in front of God and everybody. So sometimes what keeps us from seeing is our own woundedness, our own brokenness, our own shadow self. And here he owns his. And in response, Jesus, I love this little detail here. Jesus stood still, right? There's a piece of, if you broke a story like this down into movements, this would be a movement, ironically, that has no movement in it. There's stillness. Everything, the action stops. That's an interesting picture for me of what an encounter with Jesus is. There's a moment of stillness. Jesus stood still, and he said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I want to remind you about the status of this guy. He's not only a blind guy, but he's a beggar, right? So just like there's blindness, and then there's blindness, there's blindness, and then there's failure to see. There's begging, and then there's begging. And I'm not sure what we have here yet. Do we have a beggar? Or do we have a seeker? Somebody who really wants something from deep within, right? Which one is it? I get people like this. They come by here. Betty Lou knows this too. She's in the office all the time. People come by here. We'll call it begging today. Sometimes they're working the system. Sometimes they're looking for a handout. And sometimes they are really hungry. I mean, they are really searching. So what should my response be? When I first read this, I thought, I would be really stupid if I took one of these people in and said, what do you want me to do for you? That's Jesus. That's his literal response. What do you want me to do for you? Look at me. You think I should do that? It's Thursday morning. Somebody comes by here. They need help. Is the pastor in? I need to talk to the pastor. So if I say, what do you want me to do? How many of you think that would be a good idea? I'm looking for advice here, seriously. You do? I kind of do. I kind of think, you know, I've rethought this. I actually think if I just totally say, what do you want me to do for you? And then listen for the response, right? Because I've had these interactions, and I offer all sorts of things, and none of it really is quite what they want. Do you want some food? I can get you some food. Oh, I have dietary, blah, 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 blah. What I really need is cash. Well, I could take you to the gas station and put some gas in you. Nope, I've got a full tank. What I really need is, you know, so it begins again. The game begins, you know. But if I say, what do you want me to do for you? I wonder what it would be like. And I wonder if I open myself up to like this, if I will find myself like Jesus did a few days from this event. Used and abused. What was the language in here? Flogged, ridiculed, mocked. You know, if I open myself up like that, I don't know. But it might be that in opening myself up like that, I might give someone the opportunity to say what they really need. I need help. I need prayer. I need food. You know, a week's worth of food would be perfect. I can do that. I can get that. Right? To let them say, you know, what they really want. And that's the response of this blind beggar. Let me see again. That seems fairly obvious to us, maybe. He's blind. Sounds like he wasn't born blind, but he's blind now. Let me see again. I know what it's like to see. That's what I want. And that might be another key here to real seeing. Is knowing what we really need at our deepest level. And I think, you know, when I start trying to play the game or predict the game, somebody comes by here looking for help, I might miss a real opportunity to know what the real need is. Oh, I can put gas in your car. I can send you to the food pantry. But maybe if I open myself up, then maybe real healing can happen. And the real ministry of the church can begin to happen. And I think we know it's the real deal because of the response. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. I didn't do anything. You did it. Your faith, your power, right? You did this. And immediately he regained his sight and followed him. A disciple is born from blind beggar to faithful follower. That's a good story right there. Blind beggar to faithful follower. And he's glorifying God, he's worshiping and praising, and all the people, when they saw it, praised God. That's a good story. The blind see. And disciples heard it. And maybe they caught a glimpse of something. Maybe they could see just for a moment what this was all about. And maybe we can too.